Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners, to another episode with me, Mackenzie Tiggs. Today, I am super excited to have a world athlete on talking with us, Tyson Durfee. And he just has a great mindset. He's talking about mental health, mental toughness, what that looks like to be, you know, just cowboying up. So, Tyson, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
I think
this is going to be awesome. I know you're a hard hitter, so I can't wait for these questions. Disclaimer, I do not know what she's going to be asking me, so this could be crazy. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, people don't come on to Raw Thoughts knowing exactly what we're going to talk about. It's all about connections and having a conversation.
That's great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you and who you are and what you stand for.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know me, I'm a world champion rodeo athlete. I've got an amazing wife, Shay, three beautiful children. We own multiple businesses, multiple companies, and we go really hard. But all of that is really grown off of what I believe every person needs, which is mental toughness. The belief in themselves that they can go and achieve whatever it is they want, whether it's waking up in the morning or whether it's building a massive company or trying to be an athlete. Like, you gotta have the mindset to do it. And really, my platform as a professional cowboy, has really been a microphone for me to share my love of mental toughness and peak performance. And so many years ago, I started kind of implementing a lot of things that were very foreign in the rodeo industry, as far as like mental toughness, high performance, because I was like not mentally tough. I did not believe in myself. I come from a broken home where there's tons of, you know, lots of violence, a lot of alcohol, a lot of craziness. And so I was like, if I can learn this, then I can get where I want to go. And that's really what I've used my entire platform for the last 20 years.
Wow, 20 years you've been doing this.
Yes, yes. I've been actually technically a professional athlete for 21 years. But I started training for my sport at 4 years old, seriously, like on a day-to-day basis. And I am now 39. I'll be 40 this year. So we've got some years in.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of years in.
Yeah. How did you, I mean, that's something, especially coming from a broken family and not being taught these skills and not being taught this mindset. Where did you really gather that?
You know, I think it comes back from my childhood. My dad and my mom, they didn't really get along that good. I mean, the only memory I personally have of family is my mom and dad in knockdown dragouts screaming at each other and just me sitting there crying, right? And I think the way that I learned to be very receptive to my surroundings and understanding, like, you know, if I act a certain way, I get a certain reward, or if I don't make my dad mad, then he doesn't yell. Or if I don't say certain things, and you know, I might not upset this person. So I was very receptive to my surroundings and what was going on at a young age. And I remember just being like poor. Like, we were dirt poor growing up. Matter of fact, when my mom and dad bought the farm that my dad lives on now, they moved into a barn, into a stall, a horse stall beside the other horses and the other animals with a dirt floor. So that's, my mom was pregnant with me in that barn. And then, you know, they graduated up to a really old dirty trailer house. But I just realized at a young age that I had to pay attention and create the kind of surroundings that I wanted. And my dad was this hardcore, almost John Dutton from Yellowstone kind of personality. Like, very hard, very tough, cowboy to the core, a bit of an outlaw, but kind of like a good outlaw, you could say. And my mom was like this super caring, sweet, loving lady, very, you know, motivational, and always lifted me up. She would say, like, Tyson, you're going to make something of yourself. You're going to be something. And so I carried that with me. And I think between just like understanding surroundings that he's a young kid, and then learning that, hey, maybe I can be something great, the two just clicked for me.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to be dependent on anybody, anything. And so by the time I was 12, I fully financially supported myself from 12 years old on. I moved, I lived by myself from 14 years old on. And so I guess maybe that's my only superpower, because I'm average intelligence. I am, you know, I would say even though I'm a world champion athlete, I got there through grit, determination, hard work, and effort, not because of talent. And God just gave me the ability to work my tail into the ground, which is what helped build my mental toughness and the belief in myself.
Yeah. What does mental toughness mean to you?
The belief that you can do whatever the hell it is you want to do. Yeah. Let's just be clear, right? Yeah. If you... And it's totally okay to have confidence in some areas of your life and have absolutely no confidence in other areas of your life, right? You might be incredible at golf, or you might be incredible at football, or somebody, listen, they might have a craft or a skill. They might be incredible, but talking to ladies, they suck at, right?
Yeah.
But the key to mental toughness is believing that you have what it takes to learn the skill needed to achieve the goal that you want.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to be stronger here, then you get that through repetition and consistency, but then saying, it's okay if I suck, but I'm just going to get a little bit better every day, no matter what.
Yeah. I love that because you take it into bite-sized pieces. Instead of having this astronomical, you know, goal or determination, you're just saying every single day I'm going to be working towards getting better. And you have that intentionality behind you of saying, hey, I believe in myself. If my habits are showing it and my actions are showing it, then I can get to what I want to get to.
Yeah. And I think it's for men especially, and women too, like you have to outline what you really want in life. I came from like absolutely nothing, right? I mean, zero. So I was like, I got nothing to lose.
Right.
Right. And understanding like with my life, I wanted big things.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted to be a world champion. I wanted to be the best athlete in the world. I wanted to have enough finances to do whatever the heck I wanted. I didn't like, you know, there was several occasions we ran out of electricity and we'd go without electricity for, you know, a week, week and a half. And my mom would be like, honey, we're just camping, right? Mm-hmm. We're pretending. And she was trying to cover it up. And I could see the pain behind her having to say that, even though I just say, yeah, mom, I understand. You know, we're camping. We'll light candles tonight or whatever. And not, but I knew it hurt.
Yeah.
And so understanding like that is like, that was my motivation. I never want that for my kids. I never want that for my family. I never want that mindset, that poverty mindset. And so I was willing to do whatever it takes. And so for the listeners, it's like really understanding what the hell it is you want. Mm-hmm. If you want the money, then go get the money. But understand that once you get the money, that's not going to buy you happiness.
Yeah.
That's going to buy you a temporary thing. And you'll have to become a better person and learn more about yourself and then grow into another thing. If you want to be an athlete, then go do that. But so many people are just wanting to fit in, but expecting to stand out.
Yeah.
And be exceptional. You can never freaking fit in and be exceptional. You have to do things differently than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I just believe that, you know, we're in a world where people want to fit in. They want to, you know, have the nice house or have the car, whatever. But to be honest with you, those who are the most mentally tough, they walk their own path. And they literally do not give a crap about what other people are doing or thinking. I mean, I'm wearing a bright pink shirt right here. And I'm supposed to be a cowboy.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not common. But I don't care.
Yep.
And I would tell your listeners, like, figure out what it is that you want and go freaking chase that. And when people try to pull you back and they try to drag you down or they don't believe in your dreams, recognize, number one, that that's just them living in their own insecurities. Right. They may want what's good for you, but they're just trying to keep them based on their experience of life. They're trying to keep you safe. Right. Number two, they might just be haters and they're jealous that they don't want you getting ahead of them because then you will be above the crowd. You won't be in the clique anymore. If you're hanging around with people that make, you know, $4,000 a month, which I don't care about money. Like, this isn't about if you make less, you're worth less. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're hanging around people who work a 9-to-5 that make $4,000 a month and you're trying to be a billionaire, it's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just see it all the time, especially in kids, like young kids. They want to fit in. They want to, you know, they want to do that. But I would tell everybody, do not fit in.
Yeah.
Stand out.
Yeah. And I think in a society right now where we have so many labels and people are trying to fit into these categories, and if they don't fit into these categories, then they feel like it's something wrong with them, where really we have more labels and categories than we ever have in the history of the world. And people feel more alone than they ever have because they're not fitting in. And you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be you, understand who you are, and attract the people that are going to be around you. And especially with the money point that you talk about is when you're in the room with the people surrounding you, you're going to be like them. So put yourself in the room with people that do make more money with you, you know, than you, and put yourself in the rooms where you're going to learn from these people. I think so many people are intimidated and say, oh, well, I don't know what they know. Well, get around them, learn from them. That's how you're going to get the knowledge. That's how you're going to get all of these things surrounded in your life, because we don't get born with this, you know, wonderful book of how to live our lives. We get to determine how we live our lives.
Well, and that's the thing. So many of our behaviors come from our parents, right? I mean, we're expected to go to college because our parents said, hey, you got to go to college and you got to get that education. Well, it didn't work for me. It didn't work for me. College did not work. And it doesn't work for a lot of people, especially men. You know, as a kid, you're supposed to sit down, shut up and be quiet and learn and just do this task repetitive, you know, over and over and over again. And for a lot of men like myself that are, I don't want to say alphas, but like just high achievers that want to go get things done, like sitting down and shutting up is not fit my DNA. Mm-hmm. Men, and I think women too, learn by doing and experiencing amazing things. And school didn't work for me. And if I would have latched on to the fact that, you know, people wanted me to go to college and get an education, and then I dropped out, I would have been a failure for the rest of my life. But their reality is not my reality. It doesn't have to be my existence. So what I would say is F that. Like, what is your purpose, passion? Go chase that. Mine was being a cowboy. Mine was being the best I can. Now it's motivating, pushing, inspiring people, holding people accountable. Like, how about some accountability? All right. And so much of what we do is based on what our parents did. And I would tell you to question that. A lot of it is probably good. Kind person, nice to people, treats people with respect, but maybe drinks too much, maybe tells a lie here or there, maybe embellishes, maybe exaggerates things, right? Whatever it is, we've all got it. But question the way that you receive knowledge and the way that you act based on what was passed down to you, and create that new human being that you want to be based on what you truly desire. And you will have so many opportunities open up in front of you. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you still have a relationship with your parents?
I do. Yeah. Actually, my mom lives on the ranch with me here. I moved out from my mom when I was 10 years old. So that was 29 years ago. Okay. And then I moved with my father. And my father was really stern, very hard. And I was an inner city kid, by the way, right? I was an inner city kid living with my mom. My parents were divorced. My dad had a farm. My mom lived in the city. And so I was MC Hammer, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Tupac, Biggie. Like, that was like my whole existence, right? And then I go live with my farm, on the farm with my dad. Well, my dad was like, son, you're going to get on the honor roll and you're going to get straight A's or else. And I'm like, I know what that means for my dad. He's going to knock the crap out of me, to be honest with you. My dad was not the kind of guy that repeated himself more than once, you know, twice meant a butt whooping. And so, long story short, he knocked the crap out of me, which sent me in a whole new direction in life, because I literally thought my dad would kill me. You know, some people think my dad will kill me. Well, my dad, he's not the average guy. I don't think he would like literally try to kill me, but he would beat me pretty regular. So the relationship with my mom kind of came back in the last probably 4 or 5 years. She's been back around a little bit more. She lives on the ranch. My relationship with her is great. My relationship with my dad is great. But I will tell you, it was hell before it was great. Let's put it that way. And so for the listeners that maybe don't have great relationships with their parents, understand that time and God can heal everything. But you also have to have a forgiveness heart. And understand that forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. And that helped me out a lot. Like, the forgiveness for my father was not to let him off the hook for anything, but it was to let the mental struggle that I was going through is to let me off the hook.
Yeah.
And say, you know what, Dad, I forgive you. We didn't get along a lot, but you helped shape who I am, and I appreciate that. And I know you were trying your best. Okay, good is good. Doesn't mean we talk every day. It doesn't mean we hang out or anything like that. But, like, we can visit. We see each other a few times a year. We do fine. We do great. And my mom is around me all day, every day. And so we get along. We get along awesome at this point. But it was hell for a while. You know, it really was.
Yeah. How did you continue to keep yourself in a healthy mindset without having that relationship with your parents? Because I can see where, you know, we do get a lot of habits from our parents, and then we, you know, kind of question them, like you've said, you know, to do. And then it feels like we're turning on them, but really we're developing into our own human beings. And you kind of have this distance between them, and then you come back together and say, hey, this is what my life is like. I know you were just trying to do your best, trying to help, support, you know, keep me safe. That's what every parent really wants to do for their children. But that also comes with a lot of negativity and different opinions and perspectives. Like, how through that hell was that, that you knew that it would be okay?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't want my kids to be too super safe, right? I want them to do dangerous things carefully. I heard that from Jordan Peterson years ago. And I was like, that is so true, right?
Yeah.
And so I know my parents wanted me to be safe, but how I didn't get sucked into living on their world on their terms was that because my goals were so high and I was so focused on that, I didn't allow their negativity to bring me down. You know what I'm saying? And not just not their negativity, but the relationship negativity. You did this to me. You said that. You know, all the junk that we play over in our head. My goals were so high that I was like, they said I would never make it, or this, they said I would never amount to anything. I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to show them. And so many people sit in the chaos and they contemplate it in their head over and over and over and over again. My friends, you must rise above it and set your goals on something so high, or that way that you don't jack around with all the petty crap. And the other thing that I did was I was constantly educating myself, right? Les Brown, Scott Thomas, T.D. Jakes, Tony Robbins, Ed Milet, like all these people that I, some of them I've gotten to know, and some of them have been mentors of mine. Others, I've just read their work, but I was always educating myself, always. Get done at a rodeo, I didn't go to the beer stand and get into fights and chase girls. I went back and I read books, right? Which, even though it was very hard for me because I'm ADD and dyslexic, so I read books. And then I found out audiobook. I'm like, man, audiobooks are great because I can listen and then I can still work and do other things with my hands. And so I was constantly educating myself while setting my sights so high, it didn't allow me to sit in the chaos so much.
Yeah.
Right? If we sit in the chaos, we play the replay game. Over and over. What I should, oh, if I'd have said that, I could have really got him, you know? And so that replay game is no good.
Yeah. It's not good for our brains. It's not good for our mindset. It's not good for our nervous system, because you're just continuing to play. And what has already been done is done. You can't change that. You can just change, you know, how you're going to act for the future. But those situations, they're done. They're over. Like, we can't rewind and change how we said something, or like you said, like, oh, well, I wish I would have said this, you know?
Yeah.
And then it really would have stung, or then they would have understood. It's like, if they don't understand, they don't understand.
And
like,
here's the deal. For everybody, we've all got, like, show me a perfect family and I'll show you a liar, right? We've all got trash.
Yep.
But the moment you shift your mind to there's treasure in this trash and what can I learn from it, then it begins to serve you so much more.
Yes.
And to sit and think that, oh, they got it right, they got all the money, they got the car, they got the nice house. Well, I promise you there's skeletons in that closet too. So the truth is, stop focusing on external, focus on internal. How can I make myself the absolute best? That way, when your cup is full, there is more to give to other people and more to help other people, more to help yourself, more to help your friends, more to help your family, your wife, your kids. And those of you that have children, if you don't fix your trash, it passes to your children. Mm-hmm. I promise you, through the behavior, even if you don't even recognize it, it will pass to your children. So you might as well pull your head out of your behind, work on yourself as much as possible. That way you don't pass it on.
Yeah. Yeah. How being a male, this cowboy figure, this mental toughness, do you bring vulnerability into it? Because, you know, having this, you know, I'm going to say cowboy up mentality, a lot of men have, you know, a lot of kind of, I'm going to say your generation and even your dad and grandparents were like, toughen up. We don't talk about our feelings. We don't talk about, you know, these sensitive subjects, but yet it still affects you and it still has, you know, triggers within your own body. How do you have a cowboy up mentality, but yet still be vulnerable in your life to know that you're not just hiding everything and that, like, even when everything is not okay, it is okay.
Yeah. Honesty. It's very simple. Just be freaking honest. Right. My dad was raised by a World War II veteran. My granddad was on the first wave, Normandy Beach, D-Day, 90% casualty rate. He raised my dad very hard, who then raised me very hard. But I understood that those guys lied about half of what was in their head, right? They would say, I'm fine. Are you okay? Can I help you? No, I can do everything myself, right? They had these things in their head that wouldn't allow them to show weak because of the experiences that they had. Right? They became very callous because of, you know, my granddad going to war and doing things that were just terrible, right? The key is honesty. There is nothing that I will not tell my wife. She knows about every girl I've ever been with. She knows about everything I've ever done. There are no skeletons in the closet. And how you have mental toughness isn't by just covering up the wound.
Yeah.
It's by cleaning it out and healing from the inside out through honesty. Hey, man, yeah, I'm tough. I can go work out 7 days a week, or I can go on a big run and I can be rah-rah, you know, just physically callous. But the moment I start talking about being molested as a child, I fall apart, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm not saying I was. I'm just saying that men,
an example,
don't
have
to talk about the skeletons, right?
Yeah.
A mentally tough person in all areas is physically tough and mentally tough. It's not just one or the other. And cowboying up for me is about honesty, because when I think cowboy, I think integrity. I think honesty. I think helping your neighbor. I think just being a genuine human being who has a firm handshake, looks somebody in the eye and does things the right way is all about honesty. And for me, it's just like, okay, yeah, I don't want to talk about this. But because I don't want to talk about this, I must talk about this.
Yeah.
Or else it will have shackled me in the future of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you have said that your wife knows everything, because I know so many men that say, you know, I'm going through these hard times, but I'm not going to tell my wife. Or, you know, I work with a lot of first responders that, especially, you know, our jobs are very traumatic. We know it's very traumatic. And they come home and they say, I'm not going to put that burden on my wife. Well, your wife also doesn't get to support you and help you and build you. So how within your relationship have you developed that honesty? Because sometimes, you know, like you've said, it is hard to talk about those skeletons, but it's also must needed.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not a first responder, so I can't talk about the trauma stuff that you would have to bring home to your wife. But for me, it's just open honesty all the time, right? I there's been times when I've, you know, I was addicted to pornography for years, right? I started at 6 years old. I seen
wow.
it. And from about 6 to 30, which was about 9 years ago, I was pretty much hooked on it. Right. And so being honest to her about that was very difficult, like very hard. It sucked. Right. And to me, if I didn't come clean about everything, then the trust there just wouldn't be there. Right. Mm-hmm. The trust wouldn't be there. And what men think is they think they will be judged for opening up about things. And society won't like them. And the secret is that society will like you more Because likely what you're struggling with, everybody else is struggling with. Yeah. For me, saying I was addicted to pornography does not make me feel great. Actually, I hate it. But I know there's also about 100 million other dudes that are in it now. Mm-hmm. Right? And a lot more women that are in the industry that are only there for the money. Mm-hmm. Right? And so opening up about the things that really you don't like, it helps other people through it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
I just believe in full open honesty, transparency. I don't keep secrets. Even if it's hard to talk about, I talk about it anyway. And this goes back to what I said a minute ago. Like, if I feel like I don't want to do it, then I should do it. If I feel like I don't want to talk about it, then I should talk about it. But yeah. It is also very true. You need to be very truthful with your wife, with your friends, with your people. Say, hey, man, I'm really struggling. I don't like this. Can you help me through it? And I'm committed, right?
Yeah.
And how, you know, you get people through things like that is checks and balances. Checks and balances. You say, hey, you can check my phone. Hey, you can have my login information. Hey, you can, my phone's open to you at any point. Hey, we're going to get on a daily call. And this doesn't cost money for men to do.
Right.
But most men just won't do it because I would say they want to fit in. And they were raised by men who didn't talk about anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love, you know, something that I talk to the listeners a lot about is how actually vulnerability brings you support. And what you are talking about is just, I mean, like hitting so true to home, because with that authenticity, within that honesty and opening up, that is where you get the support. That is where you find the people that are able to surround around you and bring that accountability within you. But it is hard, and it is honesty. And, you know, it's least resistant to lie. It's least resistant to not open up. It's least resistant to, you know, not be the, you know, the high integrity person that you want to be. But that also means that you get low resistance in your life, and you get, you know, low quantity and low volume. Like if you go to the gym and you have high intensity and high resistance, you get stronger.
100%. You can never do any, everybody expects to be mentally tough. They expect to be confident. They expect to walk in and control the room and everybody, but very few people are willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be average, then take the easy road. If you want a life that is hard, that is financial lack, that is difficult, full of addictions, take the easy road. Do easy things.
Yeah.
If you want a life that is incredible with amazing people in your life and high-level friends who are able to talk about things, finances in abundance, take the hard path.
Yeah.
Educate yourself. But take the hard path. It's not easy for me to say no to alcohol and chewing tobacco. I quit both of them the same day. One of the hardest things I've ever done. And that was December 10th, 2016.
Wow.
The last time I touched either one. So it's not supposed to be easy. And it never was easy for me.
Yeah.
And that's a fallacy that some men say. They say, well, he's a great athlete because it's easy for him. Or he has a great life because it was easy for him. But the truth is, that guy went through the trash too.
Yeah.
That guy that you're pointing your finger to probably had some hills to climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I personally think if we are willing to put ourselves through these hard times, you know, like you said, it's not easy to quit the tobacco and the alcohol, but you're putting yourself through those hard times. When the hard times of life come back to you, you already know what that feels like. It's not foreign to you, and you know how to adapt and come over that adversity.
Well, and it's something that's not taught anymore. You know, it drives me crazy. I help a lot of younger people with their mental toughness through one of my mentorship programs, and they just don't have parents that taught them to be mentally tough. Because about 2-3 generations ago, people quit doing hard things, really. Life has gotten so easy and so soft that people just quit doing hard things. And the truth is, we must, as a society, as human beings. Like, when you do hard things, you then learn, because you suck. It's usually in the beginning. It's like working out, right? And then you just learn from it. You don't judge yourself. You don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm an idiot. You don't replay the things that were said to you as your kid. You just take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, okay, yep, I may not be good today, but how can I get 1% better tomorrow? How can I get 1% better? And I am like, I'm not a smart guy, but I do have a lot of gas in the tank, right? A lot of energy. And I speak three languages. I was in every learning disability class coming through school. I was made fun of for being, you know, the dumbass and the dirty derfy because I took one bath a week. But I speak three languages now. I have multiple businesses that are successful, and I'm building something now that's going to be huge. And my point of that is not about me, but what's your excuse? What's your excuse to justify the state that you're in? And chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you desire being the best version of yourself. You got to take those excuses and kick them out. For years, I said, I'm dumb. I can't read. I'm not smart. But through action and working at it, I was able to do the things that I want to do. And anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. You just have to put in the effort without judging yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you have said is that our parents have had a lack of teaching us these skills. And I think for us as individuals, we can't expect to learn all of this from our parents. Our parents are not the ones that are the end all be alls. They're still learning themselves in their life. And they only know what they know as well to teach us, you know? And I think it's, you know, I learned from a very young age, 12 years old. I went to court. I was like, I never want to see my biological dad again. And a phrase that I have always used is, instead of saying fuck them, say thank you. Thank you for teaching me who I don't want to be. And I think we have this perception in life that everybody's supposed to tell us what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to get there. No, that's within yourself that you decide. And so many times, exactly like you, right? I don't want my kids to go through this. So what do I need to change? I don't want to have this be their story. So what are my actions to eliminate that being the path of the story? Because if you were just to continue do exactly what your parents taught you to do, you're going to be a replica of them.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to bag on all parents. I just see the world has shifted to the bigger house, the bigger, the nicer car, the materialism, right? And I like nice things. I'm not saying you shouldn't like nice things. But what happens with that is both parents end up working, right? Both parents are working their ass off. They're putting extra time in at the office because they're trying to get going. And then that leads a kid to get raised by the school system, which sucks, by the way, you know, which leaves the kids to get raised by the neighbors or by the neighborhood group of guys or whatever, and they're not taught the skills they need to be taught, right? Both the dad and the mom have to be present to raise a kid. And if dad and mom are both chasing the dreams of the boat and the big house, you know, sometimes the kid gets neglected, and you can't ever supplement things in place of what you're supposed to as parenting. You can never supplement things for parenting. It just doesn't work.
Right.
I've watched it over and over and over. And I would question every person out there just to watch the cycles. Like everything I see, I watch cyclical patterns over and over and over and over again. Whether it's financial economy, whether it's spiritual, whether it's, you know, addictions and certain things. Watch people with addictions, man. They stop for a little while. They're doing good. Something happens. They don't handle it well, they could fall back into it, right? Just watch the cycles. The cycles will teach you everything you need to know about being the best person that you can be.
Yeah. What is the dynamic between you and your wife? I know that you guys have, you know, many successful businesses. You guys have two girls, right?
Yeah, two girls and a boy,
Two girls and a boy. Like, what is your family dynamic? Raising your kids, you're working, you're traveling, you're having these successful businesses. How do you keep your and your wife's relationship good to then be able to still parent your children?
Well, first of all, we're both type A's with like high octane fuel. Like we both go pretty hard. I mean, you can ask anybody around here on my team, any of the businesses, we both go full throttle. And that's not the dynamic in most relationships. Most relationship is one person goes, you know, full throttle, one person supports, right? Now, with us, like, we are talking about business at 11 p.m. We're talking about business throughout the day. We're raising kids together. We're doing all this stuff, but we're both a like type A 100% goers. So in saying that, we just work on ourselves as well. So about once, I would like to tell you once a week, we got on a date night and schedule in, it's perfect. Anybody that says that they have it all figured out and then they fit their wife into that slot is probably not telling the truth to the fullest extent. Marriage should be spontaneous. It should be a little bit chaotic. It's never going to be the perfect little cookie cutter dream that we seen in Leave It to Beaver in the 50s. But specifically for us, I understand what my wife likes. She likes a foot rub. She loves a foot rub. Matter of fact, I could screw up all day long and show up about 9:30 with a foot rub for 15 minutes and not say a damn word. Then I'll get the forgiveness that I want. Right. So my wife likes that kind of stuff. She likes handwritten notes, which I hate giving handwritten notes, but she likes it. So I do it sometimes. I need to do it more. About once every 2 to 3 weeks, we'll go out on a date night. We take lots of vacations together. You know, we took a trip around the world in December, and true form fashion to us, we went in 17 days. We did Tahiti, Bora Bora, Australia, New Zealand, and home. We were only in New Zealand for 40 hours, and we visited like 6 cities. So that's the pace that we go. We're not like a hangout and just chill kind of family, but we do a lot of stuff together. And that's probably the biggest thing is like everything that we have is together on our ranch. So my secretary, Stephanie, who's in here with us, she kind of helps balance everything. But all of our employees all come to the ranch for all of our businesses. Everything comes to us. So because we're on the ranch, we're with the kids all day, every day too. I don't have to go to an office, right? Mm-hmm. And so our dynamic might be we hang out for 15 minutes at lunch. Every couple of weeks we'll do date night. We go on lots of vacations. But if I'm like, hey, babe, I've got to work late tonight and I communicate it ahead of time, then she's cool with it. She understands it. But I think the bottom line is open communication. That's the bottom line. Like, if you want a great relationship, whether you're working a 9-to-5 or you're an entrepreneur, talk to your wife. Like, open communicate with her. The moment she's going to feel pissed off and insecure is when you don't talk to her, when you shade the truth, right? When you tell her just what she wants to hear, she can sense that. And so open communication and full transparency is the key to really anything, but especially the woman that you're going to spend 90% of your time with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, open communication comes back to that honesty as well. Is, you know, if you are upfront and you are honest ahead of time, then we as people don't have to come up with this narrative in our head, because that's what happens. Yeah. When I don't get that communication, whether that be in business or, you know, within our careers or our personal lives with our relationships, if we don't get that communication, we automatically start making our own stories up in our heads. And so then now, you know, the other half has to not only defend what actually was happening, now you have to defend the story that I came up with, and you don't even know that story, you know? Yeah.
And the story only gets bigger in your head.
Oh, yeah. And it only gets more negative. It's never this positive story that we start writing in our head. It's what are they doing wrong? What are they trying to hide? What are they trying not to tell me? You know, and like you said, that honesty and that communication comes to vulnerability, whether that be with yourself, with your spouse, your business partners, you know? Oh. I think it's something that so many people are afraid to speak up because maybe one time they got shut down. And they think that every other experience is going to be like that. I'm not going to say this because how do I know that they're not going to hurt me? Well, you're already letting them hurt you by not speaking up.
Yeah. And here's the thing, you know, anytime trauma meets high emotion, it becomes behavior. So like if there was a big fight between you and your wife and, you know, so let's say, for example, a husband and wife get into a big fight and that the husband pushes the wife and hits the wall, right? And it was in front of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might have only happened that one time, but because it was in front of a child who was emotional at the time, seeing it at a young age, that becomes the only memory. It's like me, my only memory of family is knockdown dragouts. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it happened every single day? Probably not. But it's the only memory I have because it's the one that stood out the most,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when a person begins to form a belief based on something they've seen once, understand that that may not be reality. Your reality might be lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, maybe you were tried out, you really went on the limb and you tried to make the football team and then coach cut you, that doesn't mean that you suck at sports for the rest of your life. I want to let everybody know something. I worked my ass off to play basketball. I loved basketball. I'm talking early in the morning, like get up at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, work at it, run baselines, go to practice, get out of practice, shoot hoops, do all the work on the ranch, and then go practice my basketball for another 2 hours a night. Guess how much I played my entire two seasons of basketball? Guess how much?
Minimal.
7 seconds.
Wow.
I played 7 seconds at the end of the last game that I ever played. Coach threw me in, and that was it. Now, I could have listened to myself saying, you suck, you sit the bench, you're no good. But instead, I got my ass up and I became a world champion athlete.
Mm-hmm.
That came from a kid who sucked at basketball. Yep. So you can never listen to what circumstances tell you.
Yeah.
You can definitely work through it.
I love you sharing that because that still comes down to your habits and your, you know, beliefs and your actions, which translated, okay, maybe it wasn't basketball that you were really great at, obviously, right? Like, that's not what you're a world, you know, renowned athlete for. You're not a basketball player. But all of those skills and all of those, you know, tiny little habits transitioned into who you are today.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that you're a failure at, you know, being a basketball player. It's saying, hey, I learned all of these skills and I get to transition them into my career today.
That's right. And so many people, they think they suck because they had a bad go at something, right? Just get your ass back up and go play again. Stop judging yourself. Practice more, judge yourself less. It's really simple, right? Mm-hmm. But we hear our past. Our past comes whispering to us, right?
Yeah.
What people said, you know, what we didn't do, and remember all this negative stuff. And the truth is you're not your past. Nobody's your past. The only thing that you should be thinking about is your future, what you're going to do, what you must do, because that's what's going to pull your ass out of bed in the morning. If you're hitting snooze all the time, that's because you're not living your truest passion.
Yeah.
Right? And I can honestly tell you, I'm in a funky spot, right? I've been an entrepreneur. I've been a world champion athlete. But guess what? I'm 39. My competition is half my age now, and I was able to fend them off for a long, long, long time, and it's getting harder. So what can I do? If my identity is only as a world champion athlete, well, that's going to suck, right? Why do athletes, you know, commit suicide and fall into depression and then maybe made millions of dollars in their career and then go broke? It's because they can't make that change.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, if any of us take the work ethic and the consistency and put it into anything that we may desire, in a year or two, we'll be massively successful at that as well.
Yeah.
And that's really where I'm at. I want to teach people mental toughness. I want to help people toughen up and have the cowboy mindset and believe in themselves and know that their future is brighter than their past and all of this stuff. And if I identified only as an athlete, then I would never be able to share that message with the world.
Right.
And so anybody that's going through a change, know that you can do it, but just focus on the path and the process and judge yourself a little bit less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you brought up, you know, that identity piece, because so many, like I said, I mean, with the labels and the categories and all of these things that, you know, society is really putting on ourselves, at the end of the day, it's what we're putting on ourselves as well. Mm. You know, it's when we say, oh, well, society's telling us this. Well, it's because you're listening to them. That's not actually what I believe. That's actually not what I think is going on. But you talked about, you know, these suicides within, you know, the athletes and, you know, the songwriters, all these things, because yeah. they put whatever that career was as their identity. Says, mm-hmm. okay, my identity is being a paramedic, is being a realtor, is being a podcaster. No, I'm just me. I'm just Mackenzie. None of those titles would be anything if it wasn't for me, and especially yeah. for you. You know, I think people have such a hard time realizing that we just have phases in life.
Yeah.
And it's to our core beliefs and it's to our core, you know, personalities of what we actually stand for that actually makes us who we are. You're not going to be able to be a 90-year-old world athlete. It just isn't possible. You know,
yeah.
and you could be the strongest, the best, the, you know, all of these things. But like you said, you're competing with the kids that were you one day. Like, yeah. teach them, yeah, help them, is. Pass the baton.
It has actually helped me a lot having, I've had a mentorship program where I teach some of the younger athletes. And last year at the National Finals Rodeo, it's like our Super Bowl, 6 out of the 15 top ropers in the world went through my program, and
wow.
2 of them were world champions now. And so it's kind of neat to see that, right? And I don't tell everybody that, but it sometimes helping somebody else be successful makes you feel incredibly well, right? Mm-hmm. Because you feel like you've invested and you've given them a little bit of knowledge that's helped them achieve that success. And anytime that people are like really depressed and really down, I literally lead them to focus on service of others over self. Because
mm-hmm.
when we're depressed, when we're down, we're only focused on me. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I'm. But sometimes to pull yourself out of that, if you just go donate some time at a homeless shelter or go rescue a child out of human trafficking, like you will feel so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, I don't want to paint the picture like I've not... You know, I've got it all figured out, because I don't, right? I'm not perfect. Nobody is. Like I said, I've struggled with pornography. I struggle with suicide as a teenager. I struggle with all of this stuff because I thought I was worthless. But as I get into my late 30s and 40s, I'm like, hey, now I can take, you know, some of these companies that make money and we can build wells in Africa and save hundreds of people's lives. Or I can fly to Mexico and help rescue some girls out of child trafficking. Or I can do this and that. And it gives me freaking goosebumps because of how I'm able to affect somebody else's life. And it keeps me out of focusing on maybe the demons that I may have.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. The demons only grow when you give them attention, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't give them all your attention, they're not going to grow.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, you had reference to even the scars that we have. When you just put a Band-Aid over it, those things are going to fester. Infection, yep. they're just going to get worse. I mean, there's all of these things that you have to take care of it.
Mm.
I want you yep. to touch a little bit on what got you to that point when you were a teenager thinking of suicide.
Yeah, I was, I think I was 13. It was 12 or 13. And I'd gotten into a fight with one of the ranch people, like the ranch, I don't want to call him a foreman, but ranch hands. And my guns were very prevalent in our house. I have a lot of firearms. Matter of fact, I'm sponsored by a firearms company. It's on my shirt. But I believe in firearms. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Now I got into a fight with the ranch hand, and on the ranch, it was pretty much drinking, womanizing, tobacco, and dirty magazines, and how many girls you could sleep with. Like, there was no women around. That was the kind of environment I was brought up in. It's very much a macho environment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the youngest, let's just be clear, shit rolls downhill,
mm-hmm.
right? You get to take the brunt of a lot of that stuff. So I get into a fight, and I remember him whipping me with a rope on my back, and he basically beat me up. I was sad. I was crying. I run to my dad's, run back to the house from the barn, grab my dad's lever action 30-30, and it's kind of like a cow, like a very standard cowboy gun. I crack the action back, I put the gun in my mouth, and I'm thinking, they won't even miss me if I'm gone, right? And I've got the 30-30 in my mouth, and man, it sucked, to be honest with you. I started telling this story about a year or so ago, so it's gotten easier. But I just remember, like, it was cold outside, and I remember feeling like how cold the metal was in my mouth, and I was just, man, you have no idea if you struggle with something like that, or you even have those thoughts, like how much you will be missed. I think back to this spot right now, like, If I had pulled the trigger, thank God I was a coward. Let's put it that way. Thank God I was a coward and I didn't pull the trigger. I wouldn't have an amazing wife. I wouldn't have the beautiful children. I wouldn't be able to help charities. I wouldn't be able to motivate and push and inspire other people. Like, it was definitely a dark time. But it was, I did it once and that was it. I was like, it really scared me. When I pulled the gun back out of my mouth, I remember seeing the saliva on the gun barrel, because I'd been crying and I was all upset. I remember seeing like the saliva on the gun barrel, and I was just like, man, that close. And just, there's so much good out there. Why focus on the bad, right? There's just so much good. There's so much good that you can do. And if today for you, or whomever may be listening, if today is dark for you, tomorrow there could really be sunlight. Mm-hmm. Like, tomorrow could be better. Yeah. I always tell people the most important day of your life is tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow it represents possibility. It represents optimism. It represents the ability to go and do more, to be more, to achieve more, to add value to others, to help, to grow. But yesterday just, you know, it don't matter. It don't matter.
Yeah. What do you think? You said you were a coward, but I don't think that's the right term. What do you really think was that point to saying, I'm not going to do this?
Yeah. I really just started thinking about, like, how disappointed my dad would be of me, to be honest with you. I did. I had the gun there, and I was... It's really hard for me to talk about this because I've had friends that committed suicide, right? And so I just remember my dad, like, thinking, like, would he even miss me? Am I even noticeable to them? And then I remember thinking, like, about how bad my dad would be disappointed in me for taking the easy way out. Mm. And that was the biggest thing, because I didn't have a relationship with my mom really much at that time. But I think a son really seeks the guidance of his father, right? For a son, it's so hard to, you know, that's why we have ties to these people our whole life, you know? And I just wanted to make my dad proud. Like, always, and ironically, when I left to become a, you know, chase my dream of becoming a world champion, like, my dad was, you know, he was an alcoholic, and he's like, you'll never make it, you'll never amount to anything. And he was just using the vocabulary that he knew from his dad. He didn't really mean any of that stuff. But I spent 15 years trying to just prove him wrong, because I wanted the approval of my father. And I think it's that approval of my father that pulled the gun out of my mouth, to be honest with you. And nobody's ever asked me that question. So sorry if it wasn't like a very polished response, but it's honesty.
You know, and that is the part of this podcast, right? You said it in the very beginning, you're not going to know what I'm asking you, right? And it's because I see the hurt in so many people. And I am so glad that you are a survivor to be able to talk about it, because just like you are teaching these athletes, just like you are teaching these business people, you're also teaching people the mental toughness that you had when you were 12 years old. Mm. And I really do think that, you know, people that have been on this podcast, and you're not the first one to tell me, like, hey, I had a gun to my head. I had a gun in my mouth. Like, hearing that your experience was seeing that saliva, like, I can play that in my mind. And just thinking, like, what was going through your mind? Because that is all we have. I don't know what was going around, you know, around in your environment. I just know what your feelings and your actions to pulling that out of it, to then be able to help other people in those situations. And yeah. For you to say, you know, at the very beginning, these people won't miss me and I'm not worthy enough, then turned into, they're going to be really disappointed in me. Yeah. And even just knowing that amount of information is, if that's what you need to tell yourself, is to prove those people wrong, to showing them that you are worthy, we need to be proving to ourselves that we are worthy and that we, you know, have the courage and we do have this mental toughness. Because, you know, all through this podcast today, right, we've given examples of mental toughness, but that last 5 minutes of you explaining that, that is mental toughness as an example.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Really, it is. I mean, I really just appreciate you being that vulnerable, you know, and that raw, right? You're real and you're authentic and you're willing to share these. And I know it's really hard for me to ask these questions and to respond to them, but you've shown that honesty and you've shown that, you know, you are tough, but this is where it came from. It didn't come from the success. It didn't come from the achievements. It didn't come from these high value things. Your mental toughness actually came from struggles. And to show other people that even if you are going through something really fucking terribly hard, you have the courage within yourself. You just have to find it.
Yeah, 100%. And the honesty, right? You know, if you can just be honest with yourself without, like, shifting the narrative, it makes it so much easier to be honest with others. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe mental toughness is. It's obviously the, you know, the tough cowboy up mentality mixed with this sensitivity of sharing your feelings, mm-hmm. or your struggles. Because if you air this podcast and we help 10 people, then that's really what it's all about. Because it's not about me. I don't care about me. I really do not care about me one bit. Mm-hmm. Like, the only reason we all share this kind of stuff is to try to help other people. Mm-hmm. And I would tell your audience, do not discount your story, because we all tend to think, oh, the guy, the cowboy on there, he's got a platform and he can say, no. We all can say and tell our story, because mm-hmm. whether you got a million followers or one follower or just your kids, like, you have influence over them to shift that life. Absolutely. And it starts with being vulnerable enough to do it and being mentally tough enough to do it and being honest enough to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm getting choked up right now because it is, I mean, the drive for this podcast is to have conversations like this to be able to help people understand that we all have the weight of life on us. Yep. And every single person's story is worthy to share. And I have had guests that, you know, I can see their story and I can see it unraveling and where they've came from and who they are now and where they're going. And those are the things that people understanding and saying, oh no, my story is not worthy enough. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's worthy enough because, like you said, you can have the influence around other people to helping teach them maybe what not to do, maybe what to do, you know, and all of these things. I mean, just seeing you, like I said, like being almost 40, your kids, your children, like, I know when your boy turns 13 or, you know, 12, 13, when it's going to be in that time frame, I know as a father, you are going to help support him and say, hey man, I know it's not easy, but let's teach you these things, right? Because you've experienced it. You've gone through that. And we can't discredit that. We cannot give, you know, this just like, pushing it aside and acting like you've never gone through it. You have. And that is worthy to be sharing.
Yeah, the people wonder why we have, like, all the depression and all the anxiety and all the suicides and all the crap going on in you know, urban areas and inner cities and all this stuff. It's like, it literally is because everybody doesn't want to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If people really would talk about it and work through it, a lot of this stuff goes away. The depression mm-hmm. goes away. The anxieties go away. They internalize all this stuff. And men, just know that you're the leaders of your family and everybody's watching. Your wife, your kids, they're all watching you. And that's not meant to do anything other than motivate you to be the leader of your home, right? To be a great husband, to be a great father. And leader doesn't mean you get to tell your wife what to do all the time. It means that you get to listen to her when she needs to talk. It means that I'm a man of my word. It means that, hey, I'm going to spend time with my kids instead of looking at my damn iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need men that are willing to do that. And not just men, all of us. I mean, I'm talking to every human being, right? And I think that's one benefit of being a cowboy. You're just outside a lot more. You know, we get to breathe the fresh air a little bit more because we're riding horses and we're doing fun stuff. But that's really what the world needs. That's the problem. And I did a post the other day. I was like, man, America is just, we're just in a really funky state right now,
yeah.
Right? But it starts with just us.
Mm-hmm.
If we work on ourselves, if we each just work on ourselves and lead our families, the problem fixes itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's really, I mean, it starts within us, right? It starts within how mm-hmm. we're raising our families and who is, you know, around us to be consumed of this either positivity or negativity. You get to choose. I mean, the world really runs off of energy. You know, are you the person that's giving off positive energy, or are you being the person that is giving off the negative energy? And that comes with the honesty of yourself. You get yeah. to freaking choose these things. It doesn't yeah. just, the sun rises and like, wham, bam, shabam, here I am, right? I make the intentionality of what I want to be for the day.
Yeah.
And when you, you know, I've broken it down to mental health is how we, you know, how we feel, how we think, and how we act. That has no diagnosis, that has no issues, that has no, you know, label on there. Mental health is something that you have talked about every single human needs to be doing. And, you know, when you are feeling that depression, how is it making you think? Well, it's usually thinking, you know, making you think negative thoughts. And then your yeah. actions are, I'm going to stay inside. I'm going to self-seclude. I'm not going to talk to anybody. But even just like you said, servant, right? Go to the gas station and open the door for somebody. Go to the gas station or, you know, at the grocery store or even at, you know, next time you're getting coffee, pay $5 for the next guy behind you. Those acts of service to strangers will make you feel so much better. And not expecting anything in return.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I'm on board. And a smile costs nothing.
We don't have masks anymore. Like, we get to share our smiles. That was my biggest thing yeah. with masks. Yeah. I'm like, I want to see your smile. I want to see what's happening. Like, everybody has Botox nowadays. I'm like, I can't tell what your expression is. Like, take your mask off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good Lord blessed me with getting all my teeth knocked out. I didn't have the money, so I traded training a horse for new teeth. So I got and they gave me a nice smile. So I'm like, thank you, God. This is awesome. Now I can smile. Before I got my fake teeth, I never smiled, but now they look good. So I'm like, dude, I'm gonna smile all the time. Especially old ladies. I like smiling at old ladies.
That's awesome. See, and that's just finding the positivity, right? I mean, you're a bargainer. Like, hey, I'll train your horse for some new teeth.
Yeah, well, luckily I convinced a guy to do it. That's for sure.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, Tyson, I could continue to talk to you all day, but I just appreciate you coming onto the podcast, being raw, being real, authentic, and willing to share some of these really deep, you know, sensitive subjects that we've talked about today. So I appreciate you coming on and being vulnerable for me and my listeners and for the world to be able to hear your story.
That's awesome. You are very welcome. Thanks for having me. And we'll talk
soon. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening to another episode. I encourage you going over to YouTube, liking, subscribing, and following along for all of the new episodes that are going to be coming out. We will start releasing more of just me talking, which is super exciting. So that is my accountability and honesty to my followers that this is what I'm following through with. So I appreciate it. And Tyson, thank you again.
You bet. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You'd also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.